You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Heard about Anchor. It is the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. There are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your own phone or computer. Anchor will also distribute your podcast so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more podcast platforms. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. So download the Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started today.
I'll mute when I'm snacking.
All right, cool. Okay, guys, we are live. Episode 66, YWC Football Talk. I'm going to go ahead and mute Phil right now because Phil is eating. But we got Phil here. We got Nightmare Ball and Markeem Graham is here. Markeem hasn't been here since Super Bowl. We're here. We're talking football. It's Monday, February 22nd. And before, Phil, you can unmute yourself whenever you want, but I think I got to start off with the biggest news of the week so far with Carson Wentz now is an Indianapolis, not officially, it's not for another 3 weeks, but Carson Wentz, an Indianapolis Colt. I'm going to go to the Eagles fan for this one to give his thoughts. That's how I got to start this thing.
I'm happy for him because he needed a clean slate. I don't think this dude is devoid of talent like some people are acting. I just think, like, legit, he was emotionally shot there. Like, I think in many ways, same thing with Jared Goff. I don't think Jared Goff is devoid of any talent. You know what I mean? I think Wentz is better than Goff. I think that's clear. But, like, I think that he just needed a fresh start, and I'm happy for him. I think we're the worst team in the league. But you know, it is what it is, man. We were bad with him. You know what I mean? Going to be worse without him. It's what it is. It's fine. We're rebuilding.
It's like a mental reset almost for him. Like, he doesn't have to worry about, like, oh, if I mess up, like, the fan base is going to kill me. Because let's be honest, the Eagles is probably one of the most rabid fan bases in the NFL. Like,
yeah,
even to
they wanted to keep, for some reason, that fool Nick Foles instead of him. And after they got rid of Foles, after they chose Wentz over Foles, the fan base never forgave them for that. And he could never, I felt like he could never recover. Like, mentally could never recover. And then the team basically fell apart after Foles left. Like, contracts expired, guys started getting hurt, guys got older. I mean, it's like people will look at, well, if we would have kept Foles, it would have been fine. When really the team was deteriorating after, like, that roster of that Super Bowl team is one of the greatest rosters in the history of the game. I mean, that's why literally every facet of that team was damn near perfect.
Yeah.
I mean, but, like, that team started to fall apart after, you know, Nick Foles left, and people will blame Wentz for that, but, like, it's really a combination of a lot of things. I'm not saying he played well, because he didn't, but, you know.
Yeah, but he had one bad year.
That's
like,
true.
Like, honestly, was it recoverable?
But this year was very bad, though.
But I think the thing is, too, though.
I get that, man, but Eagle fans saying that he's, like, not just Eagles fans. I've heard it from everybody, Danny included, that Carson Wentz is washed up. He's washed up. What are you?
No, man. Nah. He's gonna be in the comments saying he lives rent free in our heads, man. Don't go that route.
No. This is we already talked about it. We're gonna have a bet when he gets on here. We'll make it official when he gets on here. I don't know exactly the details. We'll work that out. But I think Carson Wentz can win the Super Bowl with the Colts. Am I crazy, Markeem? I don't think I'm crazy.
I thought the Colts were like an explosive wide receiver quarterback combo away from literally being a threat. Like, you know what I mean? They're a really well-rounded team, which I wish Andrew Luck had when he was there. We're not going to get into that.
Yeah.
They're very defense. I feel like he'd be good enough to win games. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be shocked if he won it all. I wouldn't be shocked.
Here's the thing. Do I think they're going at all? No, I think it's too early. This offseason is insane. Who knows what's going to happen? And we're just starting, right?
Well, 6.5 months till the next season.
Because this isn't over.
And I think a lot of moves are still left to be made, clearly left to be made. But what I'm saying with just the Wentz in general stuff, do people forget this is the – now, granted, Marquis was talking about the roster and everything. That was a good all-together team. Almost beat Tom Brady.
I should have been MVP. I'm a Eagles fan.
All right, folks. Okay, there we go. Okay, you guys are there. Sorry, guys. We were just having some technical issues. I don't know what happened on there. You got, like, your screen's kind of glitched. It's all good, though, guys. But, yeah, like, Phil, the year Tom Brady won MVP in 17, Wentz doesn't tear his ACL. That's Wentz's award. But I think his biggest downfall was him admitting that Jalen Hurts coming in hurt him. Not, like, because you know how when Garoppolo was drafted by the Pats, Brady used that to win a Super Bowl. And then you had the same thing, too, with Aaron Rodgers this year with the whole drafting Jordan Love. He didn't take it and be like, oh, I'm sad, I'm this. No. He, like you saw Aaron Rodgers this year, use that as fuel, saying, oh, hey, they want to get rid of me. And then now instead of doing all this whole pissy stuff, he fueled that to do an MVP. And I think that the Eagles expected a similar thing from Wentz. But I didn't know how much of the stuff where Wentz and Peterson weren't even on the same wavelength. Like, they weren't talking at all for, like 8-10 weeks at a time. Like, it was just a damaged relationship, and then eventually, you know what, I still feel like Howie Roseman's the problem in Philly, but okay, I think everyone's here, but yeah, no, I think Howie Roseman's the problem. It's just,
I think he felt like
he's Lori's like boy.
The fans.
Okay, guys, we're just
doesn't want me to.
Yeah, it's we're just having some glitchy issues, guys. I don't know what's going on, but Wi-Fi's fine. I think everyone's frozen. But here's the thing. Like, the whole it's a tricky situation, but for Wentz, it's better. Like, for all the Eagle fans who are – I don't know. There's some Eagle fans I think the return was a little sparse, but I feel like only Ryan Pace would have given them the first-round pick that they wanted instead of the guaranteed first, which more than likely that will become a first-rounder unless Wentz gets hurt at some point this year.
I mean, look. Do I think the trade kind of shocked me that they didn't get a first. Like you said, it's either a first or their next Wiz is done anyway.
He has to play 75% of his snaps to become a first round pick. Either 75% of the snaps or 75% of the season, one of the two.
The people saying that, like, I have heard this take, by the way, that the Colts got robbed, not the Eagles. And here's my question on that. They have a quarterback that they drafted last year that I assume they like. I mean, I assume they haven't seen enough of him that they don't like him, right? At least as a backup in Eason.
Yeah.
It's 55% of the snaps with Wentz. Maybe they get enough snaps where Eason can come in and play well. I don't know. We don't know. So I think it's worth the risk, in my opinion. I don't want to see the Colts. And Jim Irsay's going to find a way to F it up. He always does.
I do want to say this, though. I feel like if the Colts should bring back Jacoby Brissett, though, as a just-in-case, like an insurance policy almost, not relying on, hey, Wentz is going to play bad or get hurt. It's just that whole break glass in case of emergency move. Like, you don't want to be relying on Jacob Eason. Like, no respect to Eason. I know he had some great numbers. Not great, but he was a pretty good quarterback for the Huskies. That's just my only thing is, though, I think the Colts should have Brissett back. Like, I know there's probably going to be teams interested in him, but I think if Brissett has another year as a backup, he can kind of learn a little bit more and then eventually find a home somewhere else.
Eason should never play NFL now.
Wow. I just played it everywhere. I didn't expect that.
I did not either.
That dude has very bad instincts.
Who did he play for?
Washington. Shout out Edge is the best. Alex Larson.
He did. That's right.
He has a lot of
But here's the thing. Everything good?
Yeah, everything good. Can you guys hear me?
Yep.
Okay.
I can now, yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah, let's just keep going on. But yeah, no.
Okay.
That's why I was saying the whole Brissett thing, because they don't want to rely on Easton. I think Chris Ballard's going to find a way to keep Jacoby Brissett as the backup.
Well, here's the thing. Do you think, Markeem, do you think the Eagles have to draft a quarterback this year, or will they? Not that they have to, but will they? Or do you wait? Do you...
Sorry, folks. Just ran into some technical issues. We will be back in just 1 second, so stand by.
Chris having some issues.
Yep, I was having some technical issues. I'm back on. And apparently we're missing a great Nia Jazz match on Raw. I'm going to assume that... Is that Chris's lazy booking, or I'm trying to figure that out, Ramey?
No, that's a random Chris.
You said who?
That's what Chris said that in the comments.
Right there. I have the ability... It's a really cool ability I just learned with StreamYard. I would rather... There's many things I'd rather do than Raw, and talking football is one of them.
There's no way Jax is having a great match right now. I do not believe you.
I don't believe that either.
I don't believe you.
Yeah, hopefully we have a... So I think my internet was spotty. I was in another room. I just moved rooms quickly, and then now we're back up and set. But, so what were you guys... What did I miss exactly? What were you guys talking about?
We were talking about the prospect of Hurts actually starting.
You know what? I don't. I think if the Eagles are going to draft Markeem, I don't think it should be at 6. Go out and, like, if Devontae Smith's there, get Devontae Smith. Like, if the Eagles are going to draft a quarterback, do it later on, like a Davis Mills or like a Felipe Franks or a Sam Ellinger. You know, like someone who could be a project.
Oh my god!
That's me. Like, do you want? Like, if you...
Oh no, you're right. That's
here's another thing too.
Felipe Franks could actually play fucking snaps for my Eagles. He could actually play for my Eagles. That's crazy to think about.
You don't think he's an NFL starter? I don't think.
Development project.
I don't think any of them outside of
Lawrence,
Fields, and Zach Wilson could ever play a game in the NFL, a meaningful game.
I think Wilson and Fields could get there. I agree with that.
Yeah, like, I think they could be solid NFL players.
In the right scheme, honestly, like we've talked about the Falcons, that's what I think Griff mentioned at one point, drafting Wilson or drafting Fields as a backup and behind Matt Ryan. I think
that dumb shit that Dan Orlovsky put on Twitter earlier.
Which one was that? I've seen some stuff.
That dumb shit where he was like, everything that they're saying about Zach Wilson, they said about Sam Darnold.
Oh, I didn't see that. I'm like, wait, what?
Yeah, I saw that.
I didn't understand that.
I personally... Like, I think that if the Jets are smart, they go for Wilson. That's just me.
You can't pay attention to, like, what these fucking tough heads say. Because, like, the only reason why fucking Sam Darnold got drafted so high was the intangible off-the-field stuff. He was, like, on, like, a... Like, you know what I mean? He was, like, at a level of zen where, like, he never settled.
Yeah.
But, like, his numbers... And he was never that consistent. Like, but everyone thought maybe he had coasted into being more consistent. And Zach Wilson, his arm talent is like leaps and bounds beyond anything Sam Darnold ever had. I mean, like, it's like not even...
Okay, my stream is coming and going as Phil is wearing a hat. Okay, I'm still here, guys. Phil's pointing to his CCU hat. I don't know what's going on.
Monkey.
Okay.
Zach Wilson. Done.
Yeah, I know. Phil, I think we talked about this last week when you were on. What, like, was that last week or was it 2 weeks ago? I'm trying to remember when you were on.
It was one game, Phil. It was one game.
Alright, Griff is freezing again. He's having internet issues. I'll keep going.
Yeah.
Alright, look.
Just give me a second.
I'll go ahead and talk about that, but. You good?
Just give me one quick second. I'm going to go away for a second, guys. Sorry, I'm just. My internet's really annoying the fuck out of me tonight. I'm just gonna hotspot it. Okay, Phil, do you got me? Okay, and everyone's gone. Guys, this is a horrible recording. I apologize. This is also not the best live stream in the world. Like, look, it's like I said before, my internet connection just sucks right now. I don't know what it is. My internet hates me. It hates me. I'm doing audio on GarageBand and I'm doing a live stream at the same time. Multitasking priorities. So let's hope I can get them on there. I'm trying to figure out what exactly is going on. But yeah, so there's just, you know what? We'll be right back.
Is that every year there was like some sort of progression with him? So like where he went from like the year before. before to last year, and it was a huge leap. You know what I mean? And that's usually a good sign.
One thing I will say, even though we did, you know, we rattled him a lot in that game, we came within a 1 yard of winning it, so I'll give him props for that.
That dude is good. I just don't think he's like none of these dudes are like.
I just don't think he's big enough, Marquise. Like these small quarterbacks don't like name a small quarterback that's able to make Russell Wilson. Maybe is the only one.
Kyler Murray.
Lamar Jackson ain't that big. You know what I mean, Kyler Murray.
Yeah, Lamar Jackson's a freak though. Like there's just no like he. You know,
I'm just saying there's ways to win, man. Drew Brees is small. You know what I mean? There's ways to get it done.
You're right. I'm not trying to hate. I don't hate Zach Wilson. I just hate him for a top five pick.
You know what? I think the Jets, that's the route they're going to go. I think the Jets are going to go that route.
I hate all these dudes minus Lawrence.
Right. Yeah. So I guess we're on the same page.
Yeah, but the bigger question with this draft, though, and also, too, I do agree. The only reason why I say the Falcons thing is just because, look, they're in cap hell. And I think that this year, you know what? You do a redshirt year with a quarterback. Then next year, you get rid of Matt Ryan. Then you get rid of Julio. You build around, like, your new quarterback and Calvin Ridley. I was talking to Markeem about this off camera, but the Carolina Panthers are a team that's just intrigues the hell out of me. Like they keep letting go of all this cap room, all this other stuff. Like man, the NFC South as a whole. Like I was listening to Pro Football Talk today with Florio and Sims, and they were talking about the NFC South. How pretty much outside of the Falcons, like it has a lot of potential to be a very good. Very good division, because like I don't think the Saints are going to lie down dead. Like even though they do have their cap problems, I think they'll get by them. And I'm interested to see who the Bucs can bring back from this team. Because I know, Phil, you had that hot take of J.J. Watt's going to go to the Bucs. They got a lot of internal pieces they got to lock up first before they consider him.
They do. I think Godwin's gone. I don't
100%.
I mean, unless he doesn't want money. I mean, if he just wants to come back and play for Brady. But I mean, he's young. I don't see him doing that yet.
There's two other names I want to give to you who I think are gone. I wouldn't be shocked if Fournette leaves, and I think Lavonte David may go. Because I think they're going to prioritize Shaq Barrett over David, which is silly, because I think Lavonte David and Devin... And also, too, because here's the other thing. They got to think about their long-term, and Devin White's due to get paid next offseason, and he's going to probably be the top-paid linebacker in the NFL.
I think you pay Lavonte David.
I got a hot take about J.J. White.
All right.
Go ahead.
I think the all-pro days of that guy are done. I think that he would just be solid now. I think best player in the league, dominant, change your whole team.
Isn't that already gone, though? That was already
gone. I'm saying that's like, because a lot of people are like, well, it's because he was stuck in Houston. Nah, man. That's done. It's just solid.
He'll never
be that guy again.
Or he didn't care, Markeem. I mean, that's hard
that's to say. That's what I hear people saying, but I think he's done.
I've seen Clowney do that before.
But you know what, though? I don't think, like, everyone says, like, Watt's done. I don't think he's, like, done. Like, yeah, I agree with Markeem in the sense of I don't think he's all pro anymore, but he still has potential to be that, you know, that F the play up kind of guy. Like, that guy who's just going to get in your face and do that. Like,
see, I don't even think so.
Wait, okay, so where do you think he's going to end up in free agency?
I don't know.
I got my team.
Who has? I know people are saying Cleveland. That's the name I keep hearing.
That's where I think he's. I think he goes.
I mean, yeah, I can see that, but like, it'd be cool. I think it'd be cool if he had a Pittsburgh. That'd be cool.
I think so too. It's just their cap situation, and also too, like,
I know.
They gotta get the Ben shit figured out first. Like Kevin Colbert came out last week and had that weird press conference where it was like, yeah, like we want to get it done, but we don't. Like, for Ben, I think Ben's like Eli. Either he's a Steeler or he retires. I don't think he goes anywhere else, especially this late in his career.
You think they could sucker somebody into trading for him?
Who, Ben?
Yeah.
Maybe the Broncos, because they like to bring in quarterbacks. Because if you guys know me by now, I don't like Drew Lock at all. I think Drew Lock's done with the Broncos after this year.
Because he's terrible.
Yeah. Markeem. I also have my crazy hot take that Elway purposely brings in, besides Peyton, obviously, that Elway just brings in mediocre quarterbacks, so he'll always be known as the greatest quarterback in Bronco history. Well, like, think about it.
You know what?
You're not wrong. You might not be wrong on that.
You might be right about that.
I think J.J. Watt goes to the Steelers or the Packers. That's just seems.
Browns or Packers are my two.
So, I just think that's my pick. He lives in Wisconsin, went to Wisconsin, so.
Exactly. Like, I would like to see Pittsburgh, too. It's just the money situation.
He can win with those two teams. He can win a Super Bowl with those two teams. Well, I don't know about Pittsburgh.
But. That's the thing. That's why I don't know about Pittsburgh. I think he's going to want to go somewhere where he can win a ring in the next year or two, or at least have a chance to get there. Because remember, he's never been to the conference finals.
And people have said pass, but like we're going to have to do a lot for him to be like, oh yeah, I want to go there now.
We've got a lot of in. That's one thing, Phil. I know Markeem probably doesn't care to hear this, but man, the Pats have a lot of internal signings they got to get done first. They got a lot of internal stuff I'd rather them prioritize.
Maybe J.J. Watt's like, I want to play for the dude who used to whoop my ass all the time.
That's true.
That too.
I mean, they used to kill the Texans. Yeah, I mean, just kill them.
Well, they had that dumb game in 2012 where they showed, I don't know if you, Phil, you probably remember this, the game Monday Night Football. The Texans showed up in those dumb varsity jackets and they got their asses kicked on Monday Night Football.
I remember that.
Yeah. I remember like Connor Barwin and someone else just, they were doing like that side by side. And I'm like, these guys look like idiots. I think it was like 42-14 was the score. I just remember Patriots came out and just stomped them. Texans also, Texans have never won at Gillette Stadium. That's a fun fact. Texans have never won at Gillette Stadium. What?
Remember that film we picked on the kid about that?
When what? That happened? Yeah, yeah. I think I remember that. That's funny.
Yeah.
Like, they're so adamant.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
There's also one thing I want to mention quickly on this podcast, too, and I forgot to mention it last week, but I just wanted to send my condolences out to the family of Vincent Jackson. Very sad, passing away only at the age of, I believe, 38. Due to, I think it was like some form of alcoholism or something to do with alcohol, but just wanted to get that in quickly. That just a quick thoughts and prayers to his family, man. One of the, that's another great receiver that never got a chance to play for a championship, man. That does that 06 Chargers team. If it weren't for that dropped interception, they probably would have won the Super Bowl that year because they played that Chargers team played the Colts very well, and I'm pretty sure they would have beaten the Bears in 06 if they got past the Patriots.
Was that the year when Phillip Rivers was playing on one leg? Was that the year?
I don't know. That was the first year where Drew. That was the first year Drew Brees was in New Orleans, though.
Remember that year when like he fucked his leg? I think he like tore his ACL or some shit. He was trying to play through it, something like that.
I think it was 2000. I think maybe that was a couple years after that, like 2007 or 2008.
Okay, yeah, you might be right.
Yeah.
You might be right.
No, because that year I'm thinking it was a year where LT was just like had like one of the greatest fantasy years of all time. Antonio Gates was unstoppable, was a great tight end. Then they also had Vincent Jackson too and Phillip Rivers. It's just they had that they played the Patriots in the divisional round, and as we know, Phillip Rivers could never get past New England. Like there's so many people that's why you can't take New England for granted because of how many like great players they prevented from winning. It's kind of like the whole, I don't want to say Jordan effect, but there's just certain effects of how certain guys didn't get certain things because of certain people. That's all.
Yeah, it was 2008.
Okay. Yeah, because I know 2007, the Chargers and the Patriots played to go to the Super Bowl. As Phil chugs his Coke. Is that a Coke, Phil, or?
That's root beer.
Oh, root beer. Okay, okay.
A-N-W. Oh. A-N, whatever. A-W root beer. They apparently have their own root beer.
Nah, I know A-W, man. Great burger place.
It's all elite.
But.
Really?
Yeah, that was just one thing I wanted to say too, Phil. And then also, we actually have a new father in the NFL. Patrick Mahomes now a dad. His fiance gave birth, I think Saturday.
Wow.
Yeah.
So did he just come right out, or did they block for him?
That's hilarious.
That was a good one. I'll give you that. That was a good one. What else? So let's see. What else is there?
I feel so bad for that dude. So bad for him.
Yeah.
All right. So here. I said this before, but I'll say it again. Like, I watched that game, obviously wanting Brady to win, and it didn't help that my dad was, like, so, like, adamant against the Chiefs for some reason. I don't know why. But, I mean, obviously he likes Brady because I like Brady, but still, I was like, Dad, like, that's not a penalty. And anyways, but quickly I was, like, wanting to enjoy the game, and then when it's like, okay, this is about to be a rout, like, well, so much for that. Like, it just wasn't, like, it's like, call me when you're in. Like, I watched
it wasn't fun watching him run for his life. No, it was just kind of sad, man. I was like, come on, like, my God. Somebody, holding penalties. I don't care. Somebody, stop. It was bad, man. Somebody grab someone, man.
And it's even worse. It's even worse when you, have you watched the mic'd up edition yet?
No.
It's even worse. Like, Mahomes is on the sidelines, like, just, like, trying to show it. Like, you can tell he's trying to care. Trying to act like it matters. And it's like, bro, it makes it even worse.
Yeah, like, there's a thing, though. I love how, like, everyone blames the offensive line. Like, obviously, he did the best that he could. But, like, Do you guys remember 5 years ago when Cam had the same incident against the Broncos where he was just running for his life and everyone was like, oh, Cam didn't do this, Cam didn't do that. It just seems kind of like weird how Cam got all the blame for that and then here Mahomes doesn't get any of the blame. It's always...
I can get that.
Like, you know what I mean?
That's not a cover history, but yes.
That's just one thing. Like,
oh, I'm so glad you said that.
Yeah, like I'm not here trying to be like, oh, anti-Mahomes or anything. Like, he's a great, great quarterback, great player. It's just... I feel like everyone was just trying to protect him and make it seem like, oh, it's not his fault. Oh, he just did this. Meanwhile, a lot of those plays, look, straight up said, the defense just got to him and ruined, mate. You ruin his day like that and you take away his weapons, you're going to beat him.
There's a big reason why they were quick to point that out with Cam, but it's not a conversation I want to have on this show.
Oh, I know. That was the reason why with Cam 2 in that game that I didn't like was the fact that he actually admitted to not going for the ball in that one fumble because he didn't want to get hurt. That's where I was just like, dude, you're playing for the Super Bowl. You go and try to get that ball.
Yeah. I think Cam regrets that, though. I mean, he may never come out and say that, but I think Cam looks back and says, well, I got hurt anyway, so I should have done it.
Exactly. Like, if you get hurt...
It's easy to do that in hindsight, though.
Yeah.
Huh?
Right. He should have done it anyway and said, look, you could get hurt at any point.
It was like Sean McDermott coming out and saying, yeah, we were playing safe in the AFC Championship game. There's just certain things, you know, you kind of just, you keep hush-hush, that's all.
Well, I mean, you can say whatever the heck you want to say. You can say that balls are deflated, you got your butt whipped, but whatever.
I will always defend the argument that when they were properly inflated, they outscored the Colts 31-0. That's my take.
Well, I'm not, deflated. I could say it. Anyways,
I could do a whole podcast about that.
I'll say one word on that and we'll move on. Science. Okay, what's the next topic?
I actually think Deflategate is easily explained.
Yeah.
They just happened to have the practice footballs and didn't have the game balls. And at halftime, they realized it. That's what I think happened. That's all that happened. That's literally all that happened, man.
And Goodell, I still say Deflategate was Goodell's... loaded gun that he needed to let everybody forget about the Ray Rice. Because if you don't remember, he was getting a lot of scrutiny for Ray Rice. A lot of scrutiny for Ray Rice. And then all of that went away over deflated footballs. Like, you cannot tell me that was the case. Call me a homer all you want. That's the truth.
That's a good point.
It is a good point, though. But, like, even still, like, domestic violence is one of those issues in the NFL that, like, it's still that big elephant in the room that the league doesn't want to address. Like, they say, like, the whole Chad Wheeler stuff and everything, but, like, look at guys like Tyreek Hill. Like, Tyreek Hill got away with even child abuse, and he's still in the league.
Chad Wheeler's not running 90-yard touchdowns like Tyreek Hill.
I know. I'm just saying that, look, certain people get certain stuff. Like, look, Ray Rice was kind of on the down part of his career when that happened. Like, if he was a prominent superstar, a lot of the time that shit gets swept under the rug, which is very unfortunate because Tyreek Hill's had multiple cases, too. Like, even – do you guys remember the Javon Belcher incident? Like, they just went on, life was normal, even though he shot himself in front of Romeo Crennel, and I think – the general manager at the time. I'm trying to remember who. Don't remember who it was exactly.
Wow.
Yeah, the Belcher thing's a very dark conversation, but it's like at the same time too, it was really messed up. Like, he killed his girlfriend, and then he drove himself to the team facility, and then he just shot himself in the parking lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, to go a dark route. Let's bring it back to happy thoughts. I want to ask you guys a question. Who do you think has an easier route to get back to the Super Bowl next year, Tom Brady or Patrick Mahomes?
Easier?
Yeah.
Neither? How about neither?
I was going to say neither, because the AFC looks like it could potentially be even stronger, and the NFC...
kind of looks the same way.
Kind of looks the same way. I mean, I think it depends on who's the Saints quarterback, because, like, obviously the Saints, they had to go through the Saints, they had to go through the Packers, they had to go through the Redskins. I think all three of those teams have potential to be better.
No.
Right?
They went through the Washington football team.
Sorry, thank you for the correction. The Washington football team, they did not go through the name I will not say again. I think all those teams could be better. And then you got teams like the Rams. Does Stafford make them even better? I think they do. It does. They got to give them an offensive line because that was Jared Goff's problem. But, not his only problem. But, yes, I mean, I think, I don't think either one has an easier, I mean.
Like, if you had to pick,
A harder?
Like, who is it harder?
Who has a harder route?
How about that? Who is a harder route to get back to the Super Bowl?
The Bucs have it harder, and the only reason I'm saying that is, well, you can make case for both of these because the Chiefs just won back-to-back. But I would say the Bucs because, at least winning back-to-back. Now, you're going just to get there, then, I mean, I think they're even. But to win back-to-back, clearly we saw the Chiefs struggle. It just doesn't seem that, like, the teams are able to get the back-to-back wins. The Broncos weren't able to do it. Which the Broncos weren't back-to-back. But the Chiefs, I mean, the Seattle wasn't able to do it recently. It's just not, it's just, you have the whole deck stacked against you.
Now, Phil, the Broncos never played in back-to-back. They made it in they made it in 13, got their butts whooped by Seattle, and then 2 years later they beat Carolina.
And you know what? I think to get there, the easier time, I'm gonna say the Bucks, just because, like the Bills could be like really dangerous next year. I mean, they could be like legit better than the Chiefs next year, baby. You know what I mean,
right?
Yeah.
Lamar Jackson is still coming along. You know what I mean? He's a phenom. You know what I mean? Oh, you know what I'm saying? There's a lot of teams in the AFC that will probably just get better. The Browns.
Yeah.
I talk a lot of shit about Baker Mayfield, but that team will probably be better next year.
It just depends on who they add defensively.
The Dolphins are gonna kill it like this, but the Dolphins, you know what I mean? If they get in, they'll be a tough out for anybody. You know what I mean? Y'all, if y'all get a quarterback and change some other shit,
Some weapons, and Hightower comes back.
Like, if you think about it this way, at least with the Bucks, like, you could argue maybe the Saints were the third or second best team, and their quarterback's gone. Like, Drew Brees is about to retire. I mean, so, well, I'm just saying, allegedly.
Nah, he gave money back, though. I think at this point, it's more or less, like, a badly kept secret that Drew Brees is retiring. Like, we're just waiting on Sean Payton now to, or the Saints just to say, hey, we're holding a press conference. Like, as soon as that note comes down from
What? Here's my answer. Why do you wait?
Because I think he might still be thinking about it.
Yeah, okay. Exactly.
Yeah, that's exactly what my point was. I don't think
he But he knows he should.
Yeah.
I think he knows he should, but he's still thinking about
it. You think it has to happen before March 17th, which is when free agency starts.
Exactly. But then again, like...
It has to, right?
Yeah.
I'm asking, do you think it has to?
And I want to see him go because he looked like he was done, and he's just going to look worse. I don't want to... Like... I was talking to Phil about this, man. The longer these fools play, the worse the fall will be. Like, look at Peyton Manning went from MVP level to worst quarterback in the league.
Yeah.
To being worse than Brock Osweiler at the time.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Like, he did play better down the stretch, but.
I don't want to see that happen to Drew Brees.
Well, you don't want to see him. You don't want to see him going out on top, hugging Papa John after he wins his second Super Bowl?
Well, no, I don't want to see him play that bad, though.
Oh, no.
If he can't do it in New Orleans, it's not going to happen.
Here's the thing, too, though.
Brady left New England, went to Tampa Bay, and it was able to get it done. Like, Drew Brees, where's he going to – is he going to go somewhere else? Who else has Kamara and Michael Thomas and Jared Cook for a tight end? And, you know, it's like
– shout out South Carolina.
I don't want to see him just stink it up, though, man. Just like – and I know, like, you know – people think I hate Tom Brady, and I don't. But I don't want to see that happen to him either. I want him to get out before that happens, man. I don't want to see that. I don't enjoy seeing, like, all-time great struggle. Like Kobe Bryant's last year in the NBA was so rough, man. Seeing him just be that bad.
How was Montana with the Chiefs?
Montana was terrible, too. Terrible.
He was?
That last year, awful.
Yes. Okay.
There is no example, with the exception of maybe John Elway, who was a significant step down, but still pretty good.
One of the greatest first down conversions in Super Bowl history.
Yeah.
The helicopter play.
Like all-time great.
Didn't he retire after that win, though?
Yeah.
Yeah, right after
he won.
He got out because he was like, I don't want to embarrass myself. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I get it. Like, Dan Marino is probably the worst, where, like, it was so quick and just, like, just bad.
I want to say something. This is going to come off as very dark, but it almost seems kind of like when you talk about all these old guys, it's like when you know your dog is slowly going down that bad route of passing, you know your dog is just like very sick, you know it's like kind of the last days and stuff, and like you don't want to see it suffer anymore. Like, I feel like it's a similar thing with all these old, with these like when players get older and stuff. Like, look, you enjoyed it while the time was here, but you know that it's time to go. Like, I think for Drew, especially too, the way that he played in that divisional game, it's better to go out on top than try to come back and be who you're not and then make those mistakes, because then everyone's going to go, oh, why didn't you retire last year? Like, more than likely, I think even though the way he went out is not exactly the best, he did something that no one's been able to do, and that's bring a relevant team to New Orleans. Because, like how we talk about all the time, like how Clemson was bad for so long.
They were the Aints.
Exactly. Like, Markeem, you know how you guys always talked about, oh, Clemson was never like this hotshot program? The Saints were one of the worst teams in NFL history before Drew Brees got there. I think they only made the playoffs like 5 times in like 4 years. So, like, look, what I'm trying to get at is with him retiring, there's no bad notes that he's leaving on. Like, there's no, like, bad way to go out. Look, he's a favorite son of that city for life. Like, I don't know if, Markeem, you've been. Phil and I have been to New Orleans. Like, it's just a different vibe down there. And, like, he can go in anywhere, and he'll be respected there for the rest of his life. His number 9, 100%, is going to get retired by the team. So, I just think it's the right time to go out. Like, look, even last year, too, when he had to go to Hawaii, and then he posted that weird photo from the mountaintops, and was like, hey, I'm coming back. Like, I think we would have seen that by now, though, if he were coming back.
Yep. I mean, I don't think. Like, here's the thing. If he wanted to come back, and New Orleans is just like, sorry, like, it convinces him, but I don't think he plays for anyone. I think he ends up deciding, well, they don't want me back, so I guess that's the end.
And I also think he'll decide before training camp, like somebody we know that I won't get into. Fucking Brett Favre.
Oh.
New Spinner. I hate Brett Favre. I'm sorry. He's probably the most hated quarterback of all time for me. I hate him.
Well, he's a horrible... Even the same thing with him, too, though. I'm trying to remember. He played the 2010 season, right?
2010?
Yeah, that was the last year, I think.
Exactly. Like, don't you think he should have gone out in 2009, then?
He should have went out when he said he was going to retire.
Yeah.
Oh, what was that, 2007?
First time. Whatever year that was, he started playing for the Jets. What year was that? Was that 07? You might be right.
07 or 08, one of the two.
I don't know, but God... I hate that dude. We're not going to do this right now.
Yeah. All right, let's move on. We got a question, actually, from YWC Football Talk's biggest fan, Randy Oska. Phil, I'm going to let you answer this one first.
Who are the Patriots getting for a quarterback? Man, that's the question for Pats fans, right? And even non-Pats fans are like, what are they going to do? I said this in a tweet, and I said to tune into the show to listen to why I say this, but obviously, dream scenario.
Hang on just a second, folks. We're just having some technical issues. Stand by. Sorry, guys. Sorry. Today has just been a shitty day for when it comes to connecting to the internet. I don't know what's going on. My Wi-Fi hates me. Hates me. Back to the program in just a second, everyone, okay? So stand by. We'll get this fixed. We'll get this together. Getting through this together. Here we go.
But yeah, I think I don't know what they're going to do because I have heard rumors. I don't know if they're true. Griff, I think, was the one that I saw. Well, I saw it from other tweets as well, but that they have tried every trade. So I assume every trade so far has been too high, maybe. I'm assuming right now. But let me say this. The draft, if anything, has proven. The Texans are a good example of this. The draft, or right before the draft, is gonna say all of it, right? March 17th obviously will be a big day, and that'll start stuff. But where's the market going into the draft, and then what are teams doing? So once Lawrence comes off the board, okay, well, what are the Jets gonna do? If the Jets are still there, are they trading down? Or is Carolina seems to be going all in on trying to get Watson, and if they don't get Watson, are they gonna go all in on another guy? Or are they gonna draft a guy? I don't know. I just don't think drafting is what Carolina's going to do at this point. If they're giving all, I mean, I feel like if Carolina's going to draft a guy, it's got to be like to succeed underneath whoever they're going after. I don't know. I think the Pats. I don't know. There's a lot of answers to that question. I think Jimmy G is definitely the number one obvious answer, but I don't know what the Niners are going to do. I don't know if the Niners are trying to get Watson first, but they don't know if they're going to get Watson.
There was a very weird trade that I saw that. With a 3-team trade between the Texans, the Niners, and the Vikings that Peter King did, where Watson ends up in Minnesota, Cousins ends up in San Francisco, and Garoppolo ends up in Houston.
That would be crazy.
I told people before, I said, hey, the Vikings could be a team to watch out for when it comes to Deshaun Watson. I got laughed at for that.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, that's...
But here's the whole thing, though. Like, I like the Watson thing. Big Rat said it on here before. I think if it does not happen before the draft, it will not happen.
I don't either, because have you heard what they want? So the Panthers, allegedly, the last trade that I heard, I haven't heard anything new yet. I heard the Miami trade, and then I heard, which was ridiculous, and then I also heard what's the start of the team? The
Panthers?
The Panthers trade would be like three first and CMC and then a couple other defensive players, I believe.
That trade makes no sense to me to get rid of Christian McCaffrey. Obviously, I know you go quarterback over running back.
I actually think it's smart. It's a hard decision to make for an organization. And I get it, CMC is there everything on their offense, so you're going all in changing your offense now. But
what I missed outside track.
We're talking about what teams are having to give up for, like, Watson, and Carolina's apparently would have to give up CMC, and he just mentioned he doesn't understand why they would do that. And I'm telling you, because Mike Davis, my boy, former Gamecock, for those that don't know, Mike Davis balled out without CMC being there. So in their mind, they now have proof of running back they don't have to pay that much. So maybe they think they can get rid of CMC, and CMC would die in Houston. Who else is
somebody? Phil, I feel you, but like the level, man, the level.
I get that. But I think they think if they bring in a quarterback that played in South Carolina, obviously the stadium's in North Carolina. But they played in South Carolina. It's a Carolina guy. He's went to Clemson.
They're building a training facility in South Carolina, by the way, 30 minutes south of Charlotte.
He could bring a lot of tickets. CMC, not saying CMC doesn't sell tickets, but I don't know.
I hear you, man. I don't know.
And here's the question: do the Panthers win a Super Bowl because of CMC, or do they win a Super Bowl because of Watson? I think the easier answer is definitely because of Watson.
Oh, 100%. I think the Panthers should do, keep, because, like, look, I just don't understand how you're going to get rid of so much guaranteed money with Bridgewater, because here's the other thing, too, with the whole trade. The reason why they're getting rid of J.J. Watt is also to be, not only is it a move to move on from someone because they're rebuilding, it was also a cap dump of $16.5 million. You trade from Christian McCaffrey, you're taking on $1 million more. So you're gaining back what you're losing by cutting Watt, and then you're adding $1 million on. And
you're pretty good at this.
Yeah.
I say you're pretty good at this, Griff.
I try. I listen, man. I learn everything I know from Mike Florio. What can I say? But that's the thing. Like, where I'm looking at the Texans, who are a cash-strapped team when it comes to the salary cap, that's where that trade doesn't make sense to me. So I think the logical, and also too, I think David Tepper is just short-tempered and is like, I need to win now. When in reality, you know what? You also have Bridgewater under a lot of guaranteed money. Draft Trey Lance at 8, or even move up to get him. Have Trey Lance go behind Teddy, and then eventually, you know what? Maybe next year, move on from Teddy, and then Trey Lance is your starter. That's what I think the Carolina Panthers should do.
I think if I'm the Texans, I don't even know why you want PMC. I just get draft capital.
Exactly. But they're going to want a franchise player in return, though, that whole tit-for-tat thing.
I don't know, but you get 3 picks, get 4 picks, whatever you got. You trade first, 3 firsts, 3 seconds, you get everything in picks. And then you just trade to get picks. Like, you just add picks up. So, if you're the Texans, I think CFC, it's not really, I don't understand. If I'm the Panthers, I'm like, why do you need him?
Exactly. Like, the Panthers, like, David Tepper wants this franchise quarterback. Like, that's his thing. He wants, because remember, David Tepper comes from the Pittsburgh Steelers. He was a minority owner with the Rooney family there, and then eventually bought into the he's only been there for, like, I think a year and a half or so. So it's just him trying to aggressively win. I just put this message up quickly, just because I've never gotten that before. From Miss Sella Martinez, and then let's move away from the Panthers talk. Let's talk about this greatest football player of all time. Let Markeem take this first.
Jerry Rice,
yeah, Jerry Rice or Jim Brown.
I was gonna say Jim Brown, Walton Payton,
Barry Sanders.
Yeah, I don't think. Here's the hot take. I don't think Walter Payton is a top three running back ever. I don't think he is.
He's top five.
Is he, though? Like, look, okay. He's not better than Jim Brown. I think we all can agree on that.
Yeah. I still have Emmitt Smith. Emmitt Smith second, or would you have someone else there?
I think we all can agree Barry Sanders is clearly better than him.
Yeah.
We all can agree on that. Here's where it gets dicey, right? If you want to put him at three, fine. But I would put Emmitt ahead of him. solely because Emmitt was dominant for longer. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, Walter Payton was very good for a long time, but Emmitt was, like, dominant for, like, 7 years.
Arizona, you know, Cardinal Emmitt Smith, by the way.
Well, I would call him dominant, but... but, like, from, like, 91 to, like, 2000, Emmitt was dominant. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I can't in good conscience put him ahead of Emmitt.
Wide receiver question for you. Would you have Michael Irvin top five all time?
No, hell no.
Okay.
It was Rice, Moss, Owens, Marvin Harrison.
Yeah.
Who else is better than him? Torrey Holt is better than him. Steve Largent is better than him. We can do this for a while, man. We can do this for a while. Like, Chris Carter is better than him.
Markeem.
Megatron is better than him.
Markeem, how much?
Antonio Brown. Hold on, I'm not done, Phil. Antonio Brown's better than him.
Oh, don't break me.
I don't know, but you get the point. He's top 20, man. He's not.
I just wanted to ask. That's all. I like this question from Miss. I'm butchering. I'm pretty sure it's a. That's Maciel? A girl. Maciel. I like questions like this. Just keep on coming, because, like, even too, we could talk about this all the time. Like, Markeem and I were talking about this off air. We were saying, like, how our top tight ends are, like, Gronk, Tony Gonzalez, Kellen Winslow, Antonio Gates, Shannon Sharp. Mike Ditka's even up there.
My thing with tight ends is it's too. I mean, you can do this with a lot of things, a lot of players and positions, but tight ends is, like, almost two different eras.
Yeah.
Like Gronk and Kelsey and Kittle, like, those guys are, like, a new era.
Here's why I put Gronk ahead of everyone. Because, like, Gronk, in addition to being probably the greatest receiving tight end of all time, I don't even think that's debatable. If you talk about just, like, being a pure blocker, he's top three at that, too.
Oh, 100%. You know
what I mean? So, like...
In fact, so, like, that's, yeah, what he was for the Bucks all year.
Incredible. Yeah. That's why he's number one to me.
And Gronk just changes your offense. Like, the pass without Gronk, I mean, Brady suffered big time without him.
Yeah,
yep.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was just different.
Gronk is, to me, is like, he's like the clear number one. I know the sample size isn't as big as, like, let's say, Gonzalez, but, like, Gronk at his best, man. I've never seen anything like that.
And
I think it's also just so, like, I don't even know what the word to use. Like, it's also just so, like,
he was very good for a really long time.
Yeah, very good for a long time.
But, like, there was a time, like early 2000s, where he was, like, scary, like, best offensive player maybe in the league, you know what I mean? He was fucking scary, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, like, that period of time was not as long as Gronk's dominance, in my opinion. Because Gronk was injured a lot, but he still was dominant in way less games, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just kind of crazy. Like, the gap is just crazy. And I feel like after that, you got guys like Gates and Shannon Sharp and Kellen Winslow that you can throw in there. You know what I mean? But I feel like those two clearly the top two.
Yeah, for sure. One thing I was gonna say, Martin, was the. Would you call me crazy if I said Randy Moss is better than Jerry Rice?
You're insane. Randy Moss would tell you that Jerry Rice. let me put it in perspective for you.
I saw more of Randy Moss than Jerry Rice, so it's not really fair.
If there was a receiver,
I just take that along.
If there was a receiver that had 1,000 yards, just 1,000 yards, for 20 years, right? They'd still be behind Jerry Rice.
That's crazy, bro.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
Here's the thing that I'm gonna say about Jerry Rice. It must be nice that you've played against two of the greatest quarterbacks of all time.
Look.
And Rich Gannon.
I love, exactly. That's what I was about to get to that. I love Joe Montana. But, like, Joe Montana at the end of that 49ers run, like, when he was on his way out, he was not the thrower he was at the beginning of that run. Jerry Rice is the reason why people thought he was still the best quarterback in the league. He turned him into that. You know, Jerry Rice had 22 touchdowns in 7 games. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like he turned him into that. Like, Steve Young, same shit. Like, Steve Young without Jerry Rice, and there's, like, sample size of this. When Jerry was hurt, he'd have his worst games of his career. You know what I mean? Because he's special, man. He's special. Yeah. Special, man.
There's a tight end take.
Moss is definitely second.
Yeah.
Greatest deep threat to ever play.
Yeah. There's.
I guess he's more of a deep deep threat guy.
I have a controversial tight end take that I want to give, and that is that I believe I'm not saying he's one of the best of all time, but I think that if it weren't for the stuff that he did off the field, Aaron Hernandez could have been a very good tight end in the NFL.
Oh, I'm glad you said that. If Aaron Hernandez would have fucked his life up, he had a chance to be better than Gronkowski. He was in better shape.
He was great route runner.
You know what I mean? And his hands were better.
Yeah.
Like he could have, in terms of raw numbers, if he would have stayed with the Patriots, they would have got rid of Gronk and kept him. I really believe that.
He signed a big extension after the 2012 year, though. That's the other thing, too.
Phil, he was on his way to being that good. That dude was really good, man.
I'm not going
to
lie, that's hard.
Yeah. Like, obviously, we don't get too much, like, we don't want to go too down that rabbit hole of the off-field, but...
Right, it's hard to
imagine a world where, like, they choose Hernandez over Gronk.
Over Gronk,
like,
yeah.
In the early days, though, it looked like he was better. You know what I mean?
He never blocked like Gronk did, though.
No, but he was the pass catcher.
Right.
He was the guy that caught the passes, though. Aaron Hernandez was that. I want to see I need to see like an in behind the scenes of that Florida team from like 2008 of like him, Tebow, Riley Cooper.
Joaquin, do you think? This is another podcast later, but like, we'll analyze it a little bit more later. But is Pitts? Where would you put Pitts as like potential for going into the league? I don't like that. That's my answer right there.
All right. We do our draft video or podcast or because I'll be here, Griff. I'll be here.
That'll be live on YouTube, by the way, folks. That will be live.
I have a lot to say about him and a few other people. A lot to say. Okay. Let's go like that.
I'm just going to say something quickly, guys. So what Markeem is referring to is I'm going to get some of our most notable guests, who not only love the NFL, but have a passion for college football. We're going to be here sometime late April, and we're going to do a fantasy-style NFL draft. So if Phil came up with this idea, I'm going to give credit to Phil. So basically, say, for example, if it was the three of us, like say if Phil is one, Markeem's two, I'm three. So basically, we go through the teams and say who we think they're going to pick and why. We can do trades as well, but that is something that's going to be coming in the coming very, not very soon, but in a couple months, obviously, right before the draft. But that's just something I wanted to get you guys excited about. And now back to Markeem and some Kyle Pitts talk.
I think he could be good. I'll just say that.
Okay.
A couple things have to happen though.
Is he ranked too high? Because I mean, I've seen him I've even seen him top five.
Phil, man, I want to get into this. Man.
All right, we'll hold it. No, save it. We're teasing. No, don't tell me. That's enough. All right. These questions I'm asking, guys, come back for the answers.
No.
I'll just say this. He's a very, very interesting prospect. Let's put it like that. Interesting. Because a couple things have to happen. I'll just say that.
Let me tell you, you do not want to miss our draft. Like, I just think this is going to be so awesome.
Oh, it's going to be great. The full slate will be released on a later date, but so far as you know, the three of us will be here. Just trying to think of, like other things to address, because, like, here's the thing I love about the NFL, and also, too, I think I talked to Phil about this, but also I want to get Markeem's opinion on this. I said a few weeks ago that I think the NFL, they're not going to do this. They should hold off hiring head coaches till after the Super Bowl. Because think about what's going on right now. We hear about trades and stuff. They may fall through, though, because they don't become official until the official league year. So what if all, like, the last 2 weeks or so was just spent on new coaching hires, coaching searches? Like, each day you have a new domino fall of a new head coach, as opposed to, hey, yeah, here's a head coaching hire. Oh, and then tomorrow's a divisional round. Like, it kind of gets lost swept under the rug, if you will.
Hey, Griff, you're good at this, man. I never thought about
I've gotten better. I've gotten better. 66 episodes deep.
I never thought about that. That's actually a good idea. It's actually a really good idea.
We
also have another question coming in. Asked again, how did you feel about the Super Bowl this year? We actually already addressed this. Markeem didn't like it. Phil and I were Patriots fans that are happy for Tom. Fun fact, the Super Bowl had a higher viewership in Boston than Tampa Bay. I'm not even kidding.
I don't think Tampa Bay cares.
Look, that's the most underrated thing about the whole Brady thing. I really wish we would have had crowds, man, because, like, they don't support the Buccaneers, man. They didn't support them in the mid-2000s. They don't support that team. No. They don't.
You know what's? I have some fun facts about the Buccaneers' two Super Bowl wins, though. Both halftime shows were done by Canadian artists, Shania Twain in 2003 and then The Weeknd this year. Both games were won because of their defense, but that 03 Buccaneers team is probably one of the greatest defenses of all time. John Lynch, Derek Brooks, Warren Sapp.
They never get brought up either.
Never get brought up. And also, too, the other difference is that was Brad Johnson. I don't know what was a worse Super Bowl match. Like, obviously, Rich Gannon was the MVP that year, but Rich Gannon and Brad Johnson and then Kerry Collins and Trent Dilfer. In between the Brady Super Bowls, you had some obscure quarterback matchups.
Collins and Dilfer, man. Collins, that was way worse.
Oh, I know Collins and Dilfer was worse, but
Collins, oh my God, I can't.
Because at least that season, Gannon was the MVP, and Brad Johnson was good that year.
Yeah.
He was good.
Kerry Collins and fucking Trent Dilfer were both terrible, and they just happened to be in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
They happened to just be in the big game. I mean,
that game was the same thing, though, as the 2000 Super Bowl and the 2002 Super Bowl. The exact same games where it was just defensively dominated. Like, the Ravens' defense dominated Kerry Collins, and then Rich Gannon got dominated by the Bucs.
Yo, Rich Gannon's career ended that night.
Oh.
He watched the man's career end on the biggest stage.
Wasn't that kind of the end of Jerry Rice, too? I mean, he went to Seattle, but that was pretty much...
Yeah, that was the last year of Jerry being Jerry.
Exactly. This year's the last year of Drew being Drew.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's something. What was the other? There's some other quarterback situation I wanted to ask somebody about, but I don't remember what.
Phil, can I say something about the Pats quarterback situation? Because I didn't get to say, because my internet cut out.
Go ahead.
There's a small part of me that's starting to think that, you know what, bringing back Cam's not the worst idea in the world, but then there's a part of me, too, that's saying we need to move on. Just because, look. I think it has to do with the fact there was that video yesterday of that kid that was just clowning him, which, like, we all know how that went. I just loved him saying, I'm rich. And then the guy's like, no, you're not, you're free agent. It's like, no, he's rich. And then there's that I'm an Athlete podcast where he was on with, like, Ocho Cinco and Brandon Marshall. And then now, like, all these Patriot beat writers are writing stuff. Like, Doug Kiad had some articles about how people still view him as an MVP Cam. Now, can he be that again? I don't know. But at the same time, too, couldn't he help recruit people to come play?
I even said he can't be MVP Cam. That's not what I'm saying. But he needs, if with the right weapons, he would probably get overratedly MVP, if that makes sense.
Before he got hurt in 2018, the Panthers were 6-2. And then they had that game where they got their just humiliated in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, don't get me wrong when I say all this stuff about Cam. I don't think his arm can ever get back to where it's at. But I do think with a full offseason, it can get, like, good enough. Like, I'm not saying that Cam's our future. Like, I think Cam's still going to be like a year by year basis kind of thing. But, like,
I don't want that, though. I don't want a year by year commitment thing. I want someone who's going to sign at least for 3 years.
Y'all have been spoiled for 20 some odd years.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? With a consistent situation. You know what I mean? Oh. Now, I love seeing this because y'all don't know how it is to live quarterback to quarterback.
Let me say this. All right. So, look, I don't personally think there's some people. I mean, I am still in the back of my mind hoping maybe he is the answer. I don't think he is. But Jared Stidham, I mean, a lot of people might still think, well, y'all aren't going to. Why don't we just see what Jared Stidham has? I'm like, yeah, but I think if that was the case, we would have already done that.
Yeah.
Wouldn't we already done that? I think he would have just never even signed Cam if it was about, like, oh, I believe in Jared Stidham. Bill don't believe in Jared Stidham.
we know what Stidham has, man.
Yeah, we know what I know
he's terrible.
I don't have any faith in him anymore. That's why I think they were comfortable with Stidham, and then I think Bill kind of realized, hey, I don't know exactly. That's why they brought in Cam in the first place. But there's two Patriot things I wanted to bring up to Phil. One is, I've been reading this book by Jeff Benedict called The Dynasty. You need to get it.
I heard about it. It is a great read.
So it takes about 200 pages before you get to, like, their first Super Bowl. It's a lot about the history of, like, Kraft buying the team and whatnot. It goes back to, like, the 1960s. I've tweeted about it. Very good book. If you are a Patriots fan listening to this podcast, go read that book.
Isn't that book the one that, like they couldn't get Bill or Brady involved in? Or something like that.
No, like, they have stuff that Tom said or whatnot, but a lot of it are, there was some stuff that was mentioned, like, it began with Tom in 2019 in the press box the day before the season opener, basically, where he was kind of already starting to contemplate whether he was going to stay or go. And then it kind of goes back in time. So where it goes back where how Kraft built up his empire outside of football and then eventually got all his assets and then paid all that money for the Patriots. And then kind of the start of the whole rough and tumble years of Bill Parcells and then the Pete Carroll era. And then how he went out of his way to get Bill Belichick. That's where I'm at so far. Like, where I'm at right now is leading up to that first Super Bowl, Super Bowl 36. The other thing is...
What did they say about Bledsoe in that book? I'm curious.
Kraft loved him. It was just... It was Belichick preferred Brady.
Yeah.
That's literally what it was. Like, Robert Kraft had a...
It was pretty obvious.
Yeah. Like, Robert Kraft had a great relationship with Drew Bledsoe. He loved him like a son, but then Tom came in and played for him, and Belichick didn't want to go back to Bledsoe. The only time he went back to him was the 2001 AFC Championship game.
And that was for like a couple downs. He wasn't even in it the whole game.
Exactly. Yeah, the other one too, Phil, is there is one receiver target I would like to see the Patriots. I'm not saying not yet, but there's one I could be interested in. And I'm not going to say who he is, but I'm going to give you a clue. As long as he turns off TikTok when he enters a team facility, I don't care what he does on the field.
Juju Smith-Schuster. I'm fine with that too. I like him actually. I'm kind of high on Juju Smith-Schuster. So
he's
down for that. But I'm also am down for not as a number one guy, obviously. But I'm also down for my boy Alshon Jeffrey coming to revive his career. And doing, let's do it.
I don't know though. He had that one good season with the Eagles in 17. Markeem can vouch for this. But then his numbers have been down ever since.
Alshon Jeffrey at one time, Markeem can mark for this, was
I thought he was incredible. Like he was playing for the Bears, he was incredible.
He was great in Chicago.
The best receiver to ever come out of Carolina. Would you still say he is that? I don't know if I'd say.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No. Hold on. Coming into the draft?
Right.
Yeah. Absolutely. Not even close. Yeah.
I mean, successful after that. I mean, I don't know. I guess you could say. I think Debo's starting to. Alshon started off good too, so we'll see how Debo holds up. So.
There's a other kid this year too who looks pretty good for South Carolina as well, the receiver.
Receiving?
Yeah.
It's quarterback.
No, there's another. I'm pretty sure there's a receiver in the draft for South Carolina. I think he'll go day two or something like that, but we'll see. Let's
see.
Who are you talking about?
I gotta figure out his name. Give me a quick second. I'm just gonna vamp right now and Google South Carolina wide receiver.
I don't think there's. I didn't know the receiver that's coming out of the draft. I could be wrong. Could be drawing a blank. That's crazy if that Mikhail would remember me and you don't. It's not Mikhail. Where did I get Mikhail from?
I mean, I don't know. That was last year. Never mind. The first player. I forget who his name is. I think he is a cornerback. I think that's my fuck up. We have some questions coming in. I'm going to address this one right now. Absolutely not to both.
No to both.
Yeah. I like Jacoby. He was great as a Patriot, but he is not a starter.
Ryan Fitzpatrick, can we stop this? That's like the Andy Dalton to New England.
He needs to complete his AFC East trifecta, though. He's been a Dolphin. He's been a Jet. He's been a Bill. He needs to be a Patriot.
What did you forget about?
Y'all know who I forgot about?
Who?
I'm looking at the list of the top 10 South Carolina receivers of all time. I forgot about Sterling Sharp.
Oh, I thought you said
Sterling Sharp is the... I forgot about him.
Who is the world... Let's see.
If Sterling Sharp didn't hurt his neck, he'd be like Chris Carter, Michael Irvin. Yeah. Like, that's how good he was.
Sidney Rice was coming out in Carolina was really big, too.
Yeah, he was good, too.
He didn't pan out in the NFL as much, but...
Who's the worst football player of all time?
Worst football player of all time? Jamarcus Russell.
I was about to say. Him or...
Football.
No, I think Johnny Football is who had a good ceiling, and then he just... Trent Richardson's another one.
Yeah, but hold on. Okay. What are our requirements? Worst football player of all time?
I can tell you right now. It's Tim Couch.
Wait, wait, Marquise. You mean former number one overall, Tim Couch?
Yeah.
He was that bad at football?
He was terrible.
We're talking about... Worst football player to ever play in the NFL that was like.
Sorry, folks, just give us a second. I apologize for this, everybody. My internet fucking hates me tonight. Literally. I was on hotspot, and then I had to switch because my phone's about to die. So, yeah. That's me. Oh, I'm leaving a lot of dead air right now. I'm going to go back, and I'm going to get back in the studio. I am back. Oh. I'm back, guys. Basically, what was going on was I had to switch my phone. My phone was doing hotspot for a while, and then I just switched back to Wi-Fi because my phone's about to die. So, who else have we said for worst player of all time? Like, I said Trent Richardson. Tim Couch is another good one. I call Jamarcus Russell lazy more than, like, worst.
He also went for an organization.
He never should have been the number one pick.
No, it never
should happen. That's all.
Oh, Markeem, I have a fun fact, actually. I told Joe this last week. I have a fun fact for the two of you. In 2004, 2005, and 2007, the player that the Raiders drafted, the player after that is either going into the Hall of Fame or will be in the Hall of Fame. In 2004, after they picked, it was Larry Fitzgerald. In 2005, after the Raiders picked, Aaron Rodgers was drafted to the Packers. And in 2007, Megatron.
That's crazy.
Oh, my God. Hey, and
how do you strike out three times?
I have two names that explains all of that. Al Davis. You're done. That's all you need.
Yeah.
He lost it. I know what you're about to say.
As much as we can get on him, he was a crazy old man at the time. I feel uncomfortable disrespecting him because he's the most important owner in NFL history.
Oh, 100%.
Can I
say something quickly about the Raiders, though?
Vince McMahon is one of the most important people in wrestling history, but I don't mean he ain't an idiot now.
Yeah, but Al Davis was always just like ZFG kind of attitude.
Al Davis said, just win.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Just win, baby. Al Davis didn't care. He was just cocky and wanted to do his own way. The one thing I actually want, I've never touched upon this before since it was announced, but I was shocked when I discovered that Tom Flores was not in the Pro Football Hall of Fame yet.
Hey, man, wait, you want to just talk about the Pro Football Hall of Fame in general?
Yeah.
This shit is terrible, man.
Dude, it's a fucking popularity contest at this point.
It's that simple. It's just, if they like you, they'll vote you in. Not if you deserve it.
Like Eli's getting in because brother and father are going to be campaigning on his behalf. Because Eli Manning, after that second Giants Super Bowl, his numbers are not Hall of Fame worthy. But because he's got the two rings...
His numbers weren't Hall of Fame worthy before the first one.
No, that's what I'm saying.
It was like that little run in the middle where he was good. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, this year's class, though, like, there are certain people I agree with. Like, obviously Peyton Manning, obviously Charles Woodson. But if you did, I feel like the Pro Football Hall of Fame and Andre the Giant, I mean David Baker, they go out of their, they make it about a weekend because the Pro Football Hall of Fame is in Canton, Ohio. Like, who's ever screams, like, yeah, I want to go to Canton on a vacation? Like, I obviously want to go one day to see the Pro Football Hall of Fame, but that's the thing. You're paying to see the museum. It's just the Pro Football Hall of Fame's just like on top of that.
Why is it in Canton?
It's where Pro Football started.
That's where Pro Football was invented.
Yeah.
I should probably know that.
Like, the weird one, though, is that I think college football was started, the first ever game was played in Rutgers, but the Pro Football, their Hall of Fame's in Atlanta.
Yeah, it's weird. It's weird, yeah.
Yeah. I just find that a very interesting city. Like, I get it's big and they hold the SEC championship game every year. That's just something that very interests me, if you will. But with this year's class, though, like, I do think Richard Seymour should have gotten in. I was a little upset at that. But there's certain guys.
I'm not that mad at that because he's one of those bubble dudes, man.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, he's
like,
gonna get it.
Like, the weird thing about him is that his dominant period was very dominant.
Yeah.
But it wasn't very long.
Like Rodney Harrison, almost.
Yeah. But Rodney, the weird thing about Rodney is that at least Rodney was like good. Like Seymour's fall was quick.
Yeah.
Richard Seymour was one of those ones where Bill couldn't have gotten it more right at the exact right time.
Yeah.
When he traded him, I remember being like, what are you doing?
And then it was over.
And then it was literally, he died in Oakland. Like, that was it.
Similar things happen in Trent Brown right now in Oakland. Vegas, excuse me. What was the other player I was going to say? Alan Faneca is another one I like. Probably one of the best. I think he was a guard. One of the best offensive linemen of all time.
Matthews Sr. didn't get in either, right?
No, it was his last year or two. That's the thing, too. Like, there's so many guys who haven't gotten...
Year?
Apparently it was his last year of... not the most recent Clay Matthews, but his dad or his uncle.
Senior. No, I know it's a senior.
Yeah, so senior. I'm pretty sure this was his last year.
Can't get in now? That's another stupid thing.
I think he has to wait, like, a certain amount of time.
Oh, it's wait?
Something like that.
Look at Tom Flores. Tom Flores is very old. Like, he's in his 80s. Like, Drew Pearson, for example, is another one. Like, There's other names too that should be in, like an Otis Anderson or a Phil Simms even.
No, not Phil Simms.
All right.
We can do this for a while. Though. Phil Simms' career was average. He just has like that Super Bowl performance.
Doesn't he have two?
Well, yeah, but he wasn't even a starter for one of them.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, that's right. Who is?
He got hurt.
Oh, that was the other thing I was going to tell you guys. There's I think there's three franchises. One I'm bumbling on, but there's two that I know, at least two that have three Super Bowl winning quarterbacks on them. And one of them is the Giants. Eli, Phil Simms, and who's the other guy? Jamie something?
I don't know his name. It's not important.
Yeah. And then like, and the Packers is the same thing too, as Starr, Favre, and Rodgers. It's just fun fact football trivia I like to bring up. But no, I personally, like, I've even heard stories now. That's one thing I got to say with the
Who's the third franchise?
I'm going to look this up.
Because I know it's, I think it's three. I want to say it's three.
Third franchise for what?
Where three quarterbacks have won the Super Bowl for them.
Denver? Is it Denver?
No, they only had Manning and Eli. Eli.
Elway was the first one. I thought there might have been one before that.
I could be wrong. Maybe there isn't three. Maybe I'm tripping.
I remember hearing about this originally. Like there was a I think there is a third franchise where they do have more than one. More like they do have three quarterbacks with Super Bowl wins. I know the Giants are one. I know the. It's the Giants.
What about Dallas? Roger Staubach
and Aikman.
There's Aikman. That's it.
Oh, that's us two.
Mm-hmm.
Should have been three.
The Packers, the Giants, and there's one other one.
It wasn't
them, I guess. It's not the Bears.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
It's not the Steelers either.
Yeah, they just have two.
Yeah. Oh, which I got to say that if Terry Bradshaw was playing in the social media, if like say social media was a thing in the 70s, Terry Bradshaw would have been out of the league so quickly. That's one thing.
Quick.
Yeah, that's the thing too. Like if you look at his stat lines from his first 2 years, he was terrible.
Bradshaw was an idiot, too. He's an idiot.
Man, he says some quirky stuff, but he's honestly, I like him as an analyst.
Oh, he's hilarious.
Yeah.
He's a funny guy now, yeah.
I haven't realized how long he's been with Fox for.
Yeah, it's been a hot minute.
Yeah. Also, dude, it's not
I'll think of who that last franchise is. We'll figure it out before
the end of this. It's not the Niners.
No.
How's it not? Oh, yeah.
Montana and Young.
Just Young and Montana, that's it.
All right, hold on. While y'all, let's see.
It may be Kansas City.
Maybe it is just two.
It may be Kansas City.
Kansas City.
No, they just have.
They didn't win with Montana.
No, but they had Len Dawson, and then.
Yeah, Len Dawson and Mahomes. That's it.
Hmm.
I think that might be it.
This
man.
Is a stump. This is a very. I really opened Pandora's box with this question. Yeah, they only
I
have.
I think there may just be two.
Is it Oakland? Is it Oakland?
You know what? Shit, it may be. It may be.
Because Oakland won. Let's see. They won in 11. They won Super Bowl 11. Then they won Super Bowl 50. It's got to be Oakland. Wait, no, they didn't win another one, though. Never mind. So, no, it can't be them. They only won two.
We also can count the Vegas Raiders, though, Phil.
Vegas Raiders still haven't been to Super Bowl yet.
Oh, I know that. I'm just saying you have
I think we're overthinking this. I think it might just be them.
Oh.
Oh, no, there's the Los Angeles Raiders, too. I didn't see them.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Like, the Raiders have... Oh. Now, the Raiders have, let's see, they have three Super Bowls where...
Yeah, because of Stabler was quarterback for one.
Yeah, they had the 19... So... Yeah, they had Stabler, they had Jim Plunkett, and then... In 1983, they had...
Let's Plunkett again, eh? Plunkett twice, right? I thought.
Yeah, it is Plunkett. The Super Bowl against the football team. Yeah. So, you know what? I think we're overthinking this. I opened a box, and I'm trying to close it. Because, I was just... It's just something that crept into my mind. That, like, who could it have been? Like, if there was a third team... I heard it on Pro Football Talk, but I think it's just the Giants and the Packers. But... Also, Phil, actually, there's a YouTube channel I wanted to tell you guys about called NFL Throwback. And who are the... I want to ask Phil this, because I think Marquis may know the answer. We'll see if he doesn't or not. He can answer this. Who are the two NFL franchises, like the oldest NFL franchises?
Oldest?
Yeah.
Is it Cleveland?
I don't know any of
Isn't Cleveland one of them?
Nope.
Oldest franchise.
I'll give you one of them. One of them is the Bears.
Oh. I don't know. I don't care.
Wait, is it the Lions? Is it the Lions?
No, I think they're fourth or they're third or fourth.
Okay, I would have guessed the Bears. It's not the Packers. It's not the Packers, is it?
They're third.
Yeah. Man. I'm thinking of all the... It's not the Steelers, either.
Nope.
I didn't have. Don't tell me. I'm going to figure this out.
All right.
Well, technically, the answer... Well, that's not... I guess that's not...
Yeah. Oh, shit, man.
I would never guess this. I would have never guessed this.
Oh, shit.
I just looked it up. Technically, by the way, this is not the answer, but the Green Bay Packers are the oldest NFL franchise with continuous operation in the same location.
Yes, because the Chicago Bears were once known as the Decatur Staleys. That's fun trivia for you folks when you get to play trivia, whether it's on Zoom or safely after this effing pandemic's over.
Is it the Colts?
No. You're never going to guess this, Markeem. I just looked it up. You're never going to guess. I would have never.
It can't be the Bengals. Is it the Bengals?
No.
Yeah, who is it?
It's the Arizona Cardinals. Right?
Yep. They started off as the Chicago Cardinals, and then they moved to St. Louis, and then they moved to Phoenix. They were known as the Phoenix Cardinals in the late 80s and early 90s, and then they switched to Arizona because they played their, I think, first 15 years at Sun Devil Stadium in Tempe.
Yeah, you're right about that.
Yeah.
Chicago had two teams. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Just a little fun football trivia. See, I'm really good at stumping your mind right now. Let's see this question right here. Who has the best quarterback in their team? I'm trying to realize. There's another question she said of their team. So, like, I'm trying to figure out what exactly this question means. I'm going to put the other one up.
Maybe, who's. Like each team's best quarterback, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, because let's see.
I think there's too many obvious answers for this.
There's a lot. Like,
talking every team around the league, that'd be fun, but I have to really think about it.
Yeah,
I'm not.
Oh, going back to teams earlier, for Steelers, would you say Bradshaw or would you say Ben?
Oh, easily Ben. All
right.
Like, not even close. Hey, come on, man. Come on, Griff.
All right, cool. I have to ask the questions. It's my that's my duty as host. I got to ask you questions.
You had one guy that was bad. And just won four Super Bowls. Like, actively not good. And another guy who's just not good now, but was, like, MVP type. Like,
yeah. You know what I mean? I'm just looking back at all the franchise's best quarterbacks. Like, Ben is Pittsburgh. Obviously, New England is Tom.
Yeah. Cowboys is Romo.
No, it's not.
Okay, Markeem.
Roger Staubach fans won't like me. I don't know anything about Roger Staubach, so I'll gladly admit that, but...
I think you're going to get those Cowboy fans who are older will say Staubach, but you're going to get the Cowboy fans that are probably right now 30s to 50s who will say Aikman.
Romo is better than Aikman?
You might get shot if you said that to the right person. You might get beat up, man.
Romo was better than Aikman. I'll stand by that.
I think he was.
Right. Yeah. Markeem, best Eagles quarterback of all time.
McNabb or Cunningham?
Well, Cunningham. We can't be close. Dude. McNabb does so much for the Eagles.
Yeah,
I'm going to go McNabb. But I can see someone saying Cunningham.
Yeah. Giants, would you say Phil Simms? Would you say Eli Manning?
It's Eli,
unfortunately. It has to be Eli, yeah.
Unfortunately, it's Eli.
Oh, Broncos, I'm going to go John Elway.
Of course.
Yeah. Hey, Manning.
Oh, stop it.
No.
He's the Colts. Colts, Peyton Manning.
Bears.
Johnny Unitas, what are you doing?
Nah. Like, you know what? I can see someone saying that, but like, I'd have to go with Manning just because Manning played there longer, and you know his career was more expensive. You got to go.
Greatest Bucks quarterback of all time.
Greatest Bucks quarterback of all time.
Is it Brady up for 1 year?
Vinny Testaverde. It's Vinny Testaverde. How could you get that wrong?
Josh Freeman.
Oh, God.
It might be Tom Brady, though.
Yeah.
I think one more year would probably solidify that, probably.
What about the Atlanta Falcons?
That's hard. Right? See, now, I think Matt Ryan was better. I think it's Matt Ryan.
Vic never got to a Super Bowl, but, I mean, that's a team thing. But, like, skill-wise.
Mike Vick's the same thing, though.
Ryan's better. Brian's played better. Yeah.
Did Vic win the MVP? I
can't yeah.
Remember. No.
I'm pretty sure.
No, he never won an MVP.
I'm Googling that right now.
He came in second with us. He was playing with us. Came in second.
I know he was on the cover of... Do you think Vic's career would have been different if it weren't like the same thing? Aaron Hernandez, obviously the off-field stuff. If Vic didn't get involved in dogfighting and stuff, do you think his career, he could have probably been a lifelong Falcon?
No, because he still would have got hurt. That would have happened. That was coming.
Yep.
He broke his leg one time already. He was injured for
him. Yeah, he won. He only won. He's a Heisman finalist, and he won Comeback Player of the Year in 2010.
Joaquin, injury prone, I think, for his type of quarterback, I don't think that's the right way to say it, because I think Vic was just, the way his style was, it just wasn't going to hold up.
Like he was injury prone. Like, he was blowing him and he'd get hurt. He was injury prone. Even with him being the runner he was, he got hurt a lot. He got hurt for us back in the day with Virginia Tech. He got hurt for us twice. They're not going to give him that, man.
I have two teams I want to give you in the North, actually, for quarterbacks. Is Matt Stafford the best Lions quarterback of all time?
Yeah.
Joey Harrington.
Well, hold on. No, maybe not.
Dan Orlovsky?
Dan Orlovsky.
Hell no.
Joey Harrington was better than Dan Orlovsky.
What about the Chicago Bears?
Oh, that's...
Sid Luckman?
That's my guy. Yeah, that's Luckman, absolutely.
Rex Grossman.
Let's see. Minnesota Vikings is Dante Culpepper.
Brett Favre.
Wait. What'd you just say, Drew?
I was just fucking with you. I said Dante Culpepper is the best Vikings quarterback, but obviously it's Fran Tarkenton.
I was about to say, what the hell just happened?
Gotta stump you, man. Gotta stump you. I don't want to ask a question of who we think it is, because obviously with Buffalo, it's Jim Kelly. But could Josh Allen maybe surpass him one day and become the best Bills quarterback of all time?
Sure. Yeah, Jim Kelly only played there for 10 years. Absolutely.
Did he play four straight Super Bowls, though?
Yeah, but I don't see how he could. If he keeps getting better, he's young, man.
Yeah.
Bro, I still think about that. I need to know a prime Bills fan that lived through that. And I just want to know how they made it.
I remember the tail end. And I remember, my first memory of ever watching football ever was the comeback. The
Oilers?
Yeah. When the game seemed over, I was watching it with one of my cousins, and it seemed over. We were doing other shit. And then he got a call from one of his friends. He basically pushed me down. I remember, I think I was like 3 or 4. I remember this, like, vividly. He pushed me down, I fell, and I cried, and all that shit. So he cut back on the game to see the end. Because he came back.
Wow.
It's like, yo, if you want, I watched the, what's the name? Remember that little show they had, the NFL Greatest Games?
Yeah.
It's unbelievable hearing them talk about that. Warren Moon, he said that on the sideline, they were talking about what they were going to eat after the game. He was like, yeah, man, we're going to the steakhouse. Let's go get a prime rib. You know what I mean? He had plans, man. You know what I mean?
And Frank Wright was like, yeah, no, we're putting those on hold.
Yeah, no.
Would you say, like, obviously, if the Oilers were the Titans, would you say Warren Moon was their best quarterback if you're combining the two, or would you say McNair?
McNair was...
That's tough. Because Moon had the better numbers, but I think if you ask most of those fans, they would tell you McNair, I think, because of what he meant. I think he meant more to that team than Moon did, but Moon was probably better.
Yeah.
Man. You could make the argument that Warren Moon is the most prolific professional QB of all time.
Not Vincent Testaverde?
Yeah, he said what?
He's not Vinny Testaverde?
No, but if you combine what he did in the CFL and the NFL, he has like almost 80,000 yards.
CFL, baby.
Where did Warren Moon go to college?
Oh, that's a very good question. You put me on the spot, Phil, because I don't know.
I'm going to Google that right now.
I'm usually doing that shit. I don't know. Don't tell me.
Don't tell him.
I'm not going to cheat. All right, give me a hint. Is it a...
I'll give you a hint.
Can I?
You're going to book it.
Is it Power 5?
Power 5. It is, yes. Power 5. Barely.
That's a pretty big hint, Phil.
Well, I mean,
man, I don't know. You got nothing.
All right, we just talked about a quarterback that went to this college on one of the current teams that just got a new quarterback. That was a lot.
What?
Yeah, that was a lot. A quarterback was traded to a team who has a quarterback that played for the same college.
He went to Cal or something?
Close.
So he's in the Pac-12. I'm in the ballpark.
Yeah.
Oh, he went to Washington, right?
Yeah.
I see him in the jersey now.
I have a hot take about the Pac-12. I don't think the football's bad. I think it's just like when it comes to all the Power Fives, it's like the one that always gets overlooked.
Wait, he played 5 years in Canada?
Yeah.
Good God.
And was dominant there.
Phil.
How bad was he in college?
I'm not 100% sure.
Man, Toronto Argonauts are making... Dude.
What?
The Toronto Argonauts have made 3 NFL-level signings in the last, like, few weeks. They got Martavis Bryant now, Shane Ray, and today, Coney Ealy.
I know, I'm just saying.
Man, I got to get you guys on the CFL, dude. It's like, the football's a little different. Like, that's what I played when I was in high school. It's very different, but going to the games is fun. It's like, I'll go, because my uncles are huge diehard CFL fans, Toronto Argonauts, and... Like, you go to the games, you're allowed to tailgate in the parking lots and stuff, and it's a fun time. Like, the football obviously is not as good as NFL, but it's still enjoyable to go and watch.
Hell, man, Doug Flutie.
Yeah.
Legend.
Dang, he went unselected in a 12-round draft? Jesus.
Dude, a lot of guys have to go to the CFL to prove themselves. Like, look at Alex Singleton right now for your Eagles, Markeem.
Yeah,
he did come from the CFL.
Yeah, he was a Calgary Stampeder. The CFL.
Yeah, that's a good ass question, man. Who else? Some of the other teams. Washington is probably the toughest, right? Would you say Theismann? It has to be Theismann, right?
Him or Williams?
Doug. Okay, I love Doug Williams as a black man. He's very important.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong, but aside from like that Super Bowl run and a couple moments here and there. It has to be Theismann. Man.
Raiders, would you go?
Williams.
Raiders, would you go Plunkett or Stabler?
Stabler?
Sorry, I'm distracted.
Yeah.
Randy Orton just blew up black stuff, apparently, on Raw tonight.
Jesus Christ.
We're here to talk football, not wrestling.
Jets,
let's see. Jets and Dolphins are obvious.
Yeah, Brian Greasy.
Bob Greasy.
Bob Greasy, my man. I'm joking, by the way. It's Dan Marino.
Can I say something, though? I cannot stand Brian Greasy as a commentator. He is terrible. Brian Greasy is so bad as an NFL commentator.
He's pretty bad.
Let's see.
Yeah, the Jets, although I think Joe Namath is the most overrated quarterback in the history of the league.
One of the most famous sound bites in NFL history, though.
Mark Sanchez.
Not his incident with Susie Colbert in 2003, but him sitting poolside guaranteeing the media that they were going to beat the Colts.
Which was insane when you think about it, because they were such heavy underdog.
Yeah.
People thought they shouldn't have been on the same field, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Rams, Kurt Warner.
Yep.
Yeah, you got to.
Would you say him for the Arizona Cardinals, too?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
What are you going to say, Jake Plummer? Like, come on.
Fuck, Matt Leinart.
Exactly.
Seattle, would you already put Russell Wilson for Seattle?
Did they have somebody? Who else did they have?
The Hasselback.
I mean, Russell Wilson is better than Hasselback. Right. Hasselback was there for like 10 years, though.
He also made one of the dumbest guarantees in playoff history by saying, oh, we're going to win. We're going to score. And then they throw a fucking pick six against Green Bay.
Oh, yeah, the coin flip, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that. We're going to win. He said we're going to take the ball. We're going to score.
Yeah, and he throws a pick six.
Oh,
let's see what other teams there are in the West. So let's see. We have Seattle, Arizona, San Francisco.
All right, okay.
This is where it gets spicy.
The obvious take is Joe Montana, right?
That's
the obvious take. Now, I'm going with Montana, but you can legit make an argument for Young.
Oh, 100%.
Like, absolutely. Like, he was more efficient than Montana. It's just that simple. It's way more efficient.
The other teams I'm trying to think of, like...
And then the wild thing, before Peyton Manning came along, Steve Young was the most efficient quarterback in NFL history. Peyton Manning came along and kind of shattered all his records. But he was efficient as hell, man. He had that record for QB rating people thought would never be broken.
Let's see, who else? Saints, I'd probably go Drew Brees.
Yeah, there's no problem there.
R.C. Manning.
What about the Panthers?
Panthers? It's Jake DeLome. It's not even close. I'm sorry. It's Jake DeLome.
Yeah, you might. Well, I don't know, man.
I said not even close. Cam Newton does lead in every stat, but Jake DeLome, I don't know, man. That was. Maybe it is Cam.
I feel like Cam's high was higher than DeLome, so I have to go with Cam.
Yeah. Jacksonville, probably Mark Brunell.
I don't know. What about Byron Leftwich, man?
David Garrard.
The boat, Blake Bortles. Houston. Would you say he would. With Houston's a tricky one.
Oh, dude, you gotta go to Sean Watson.
Yeah.
Because if we're counting the Titans and Oilers together, yeah. I mean, you gotta go to Sean Watson.
Yeah.
Say David Carr.
David
Carr. Or Matt Schaub.
Or Matt Laundrie's Matt Schaub. Welcome,
Matt. Man, I honestly was when Matt Schaub may have been one of the most under the radar QBs ever. Like, he just fucked off to Atlanta, and then he was their backup for like a long time. And then this year, out of nowhere, it's oh yeah, he retired. And I had to do a double take and realize like shit, he's been in the league that long.
Yeah, the kid would love to hear you say that. He's a big fan of Schaub.
Oh yeah.
I mean,
I hate Schaub.
Dude, Houston was on that team where it's like they always just get to the playoffs and then they just like pissed it away.
I hate Schaub because of that year where he beat my Hokies, man. I never forgive him for that.
Where did he go to school?
He went to Virginia.
Oh, okay. Fuck, Cavaliers are still. Oh, that's right. The Cavaliers are. Man, the ACC is such a weird conference with football. Like, there's all these teams that just like pop up that are good and then they like kind of go away and then they'll come back.
Yeah. It used to be where it was Florida State consistently,
yeah.
And then some other team would challenge them, and it disappeared.
Like how in the 90s it was the U, and then the U disappeared.
Well, Miami was in the Big East then.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Didn't realize I thought that Big East was only a thing for basketball. I guess I have to do some research.
Nah, Big East football, Virginia Tech was there too.
Oh, okay.
Same thing with Pitt.
I was gonna think of anything else. You guys have anything else you guys want to touch on for tonight? I think we covered a lot of stuff.
That's it.
Ooh. Well, anyway, guys, thanks for all the questions. Shout outs to Cody Lancaster, Mizel Martinez, and always Randy Oska, Markeem, Phil. Guys, it was a pleasure having you guys on. We'll have to do this again very soon. I need you guys back for free agency. There is no ifs, ands, or buts about that, even if it is during wrestling. But anyway, guys, you know what? Thanks to everyone for coming on, for answering questions. Hopefully we can get more people to the next live stream, hopefully with less technical issues. Sorry about that once again. But anyway, guys, we will see you next time on YWC Football Talk. Have a good night.
Please come back.
I'm Jeff Woods, and I'm shining a light on music and the rock stars who make it.
He just was one of those people. He stood out.
He was a magic guy. He really was a magic guy. We all have force. He had the same amount of force as we all have.
This was before Led Zeppelin. Robert was full on. I mean, he was Led Zeppelin without the band behind him. He had the hair, the jeans, the whole thing, you know. And he was amazing.
The Records and Rockstars podcast, heard around the world and yours to hear wherever you get podcasts. All the episodes from JeffWoodsRadio.com.
Do, Did, Will, the Story of People podcast is now available on the Crier Media Network. The first 5 episodes are here and feature some incredible guests that fit into one or all 3 of those categories. Ready? Tara Sloan from the San Jose Sharks, Undercurrent podcast at NBC Sports. Marianne Iveson from Iveson Voice and the Let's Take This Outside podcast to talk about the world of outdoors as well as voiceover land. Ariana Hunsicker, future Canadian Paralympic swimmer, already winning tons of awards for this country. Scott McGregor from the Hot Wallet podcast to dumb down the world of crypto, Bitcoin, and NFTs so you don't have to. And Jackie Holowaty from Climate Pledge Arena in Seattle, Washington, the first net zero carbon certified arena on the planet. Wherever you get your pods, wherever you watch your pods, and on the Crier Media Network.